Welcome back to Strange Dimensions. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, it's a mystical night tonight. We are going to probe spirit travel, energy healing, living in the fifth dimension, traveling to sacred sites in the past, all kinds of topics with my guest, Sonia Grace, mystic healer and spirit traveler. Now, I had the pleasure of meeting Sonia this past summer when I was out in the Northwest. We were both guests on the George Norrie stage show in Everett, Washington. It was a sold-out crowd, just a fantastic event. And I just loved what Sonia had to say about herself, her background, and her work. And I knew that I wanted to bring her on the show because I knew a lot of you would love her as well. Let me tell you a little bit about her before we bring her on. As I mentioned, she's a mystic healer and also energy surgeon. She has an international clientele. Through Sonia's energy medicine, etheric clearing, structural and cellular healing work, she helps clients to transform their energy, chakras, auric field, as well as their physical body in all systems. Sonia Grace sees and receives messages from loved ones who have crossed over. And she offers a venue for healing in this world and the spirit world. Her ability to read and clear the karmic threads to past lives helps her clients heal lifetimes of patterns. Sonia is a spirit traveler. She is able to transcend time and space, and she visits locations such as sacred sites and learns the secrets of their origins and history. She is the author of several books, among them Spirit Traveler and Become an Earth Angel. She makes numerous media appearances. She's been a guest on Coast to Coast with George Norrie and also on George's television show Beyond Belief on Gaia. And also the show Ancient Civilizations, also on Gaia. Sonia lives in the beautiful Pacific Northwest in Portland, Oregon. I used to live there myself. And for more information about her readings, retreats, and workshops, visit her website, soniagrace.com. And that's Sonia with a J, S-O-N-J-A, grace.com. Now, if you have questions for Sonia, please join the chat lounge at kgraradio.com. And we'll be able to ask Sonia on the air then. So, Sonia, thank you so much for joining me on the show tonight.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here with you. Thanks for having me on the show. And it was delightful to meet you down in the dungeon of that theater that we were in.
You mean the dungeon that they called the green room?
Yes, it was a green room, but actually a dungeon. But it was so much fun to be there with you. And I really appreciated getting that connection. It was, you know, there were a lot of guys in the show, so it was nice to have you there and sort of hold up the female side of everything.
That's right. We have to have that balance. It was a great show, and the audience just really loved it. And you know, I've done other shows with George before, and the energy is always high at that. And what did you think of that show?
Oh, I loved it. It was really fun, and it was very informative for the audience. I'm going to be in the next live show that they do April 21st, I believe, in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's amazing to me how important it is to people that they see George and they see you and me and the people who are there in person. And I love that because, you know, we get so locked into our mobile devices and our televisions and our computers, and a lot of times we even avoid the store and order everything online so that we don't have to see people. So it was really fun for me that all these people came out and we had this massive meet and greet afterwards and, you know, shaking hands of, you know, 400 plus people. It was crazy, but it was really great. I enjoyed it.
If you ever have the opportunity, folks, to catch one of George's stage shows, he does them all around the country and even in Canada, do grab a ticket because they sell out. And as Sonia just said, it's a great way to meet some of the guests in person and George in person as well. Now, Sonia, you've described yourself as a spirit traveler, and you say that you were born with mystical abilities. Can you tell us about your background and how you became aware of your ability to do the spirit traveling, to see into the spirit realms? What sort of early experiences did you have?
Well, I was born this way, and the reason that I say that is my earliest memory being a two-year-old, and back in the day, we won't go as far back as we could, but back in the day, my mom would put me in a crib for a nap, and I would roll the crib across the floor. Well, if you guys remember how heavy cribs used to be back in the day, that would be impossible for a child to actually move the crib. And I remember as a child looking up and seeing my guides, who were high angelic beings on both sides of the crib, smiling at me and moving the crib across the floor until it banged against the door. And my mom would open the door totally, shocked. What are you doing? And I'd be laughing. And you know, to me it was normal, but my guides have been with me through all of my lifetimes. I've had, you know, complete and total recall of being a healer or a visionary, mystic in all of my lives, and I remember them through my lifetimes, and here they are again, you know, aiding and assisting me in the work that I do. I am a healer. I trained with three very special, brilliant women through my early days, and you know, 35 years of doing this work, I'm sort of a part of the old guard, if you will. Donna Eden's a very good friend of mine and a past teacher of mine. And I feel like, you know, people will assume things. They'll look at me and say, oh, you're a Reiki healer. And it's like, no. I mean, the way that I trained was truly old school. I learned hands-on healing, you know, Traeger, Feldenkrais, polarity therapy, energy medicine, all of it. And I literally worked on people hands-on for years before I ever ventured out to working long distance, which I do now. And, you know, George always says to me, you know, you're an energy surgeon. That's what you do, because I literally do go in and repair hearts and do the equivalency of triple bypasses. And I work on livers and lesions and cancers and, you know, I repair bones and blood and pancreas and you name it, I've worked on it. And so my daily life is, you know, talking to people all over the world who will call me and have a session with me. And, you know, maybe there's a physical ailment that I need to work on. Maybe there's an emotional issue. We do processing, or there's some kind of, you know, a person on the other side, their mom or their dad just passed and we talk to them, or maybe there's a whole, you know, series of questions because of a job situation or a family situation that needs to be uncovered as to what's going on. So there's lots of different areas that I work in. I remember when I was about 5, I was trying to heal our family pet. She had tumors all over her back, our dog, and I was sitting there, you know, in the hallway, and I had my hands on her, and I was determined to shrink these tumors down to nothing. And, you know, I mean, just amazing things when I was a kid, you know, seeing the entire spirit realm walk through my bedroom one day, that was an eye-opener. And really no one in my family to navigate this for me. My mom had the awareness, thank God, to put me into ballet class and title me with, well, she's really artistic. and so I trained as a classical ballerina, and I actually had a professional career on stage for a decade with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And so, you know, I really loved that I got to do that because it grounded me. I mean, if you think about how hard ballet dancers train, it not only taught me the discipline to train for the work that I do as a healer, but it also taught me so much about time and space. And that's how I evolved into literally becoming a time traveler. Because when I go into meditation, I completely dissolve. It's like I am not there anymore. I feel like my whole body just dissolves into little particles that go out into space. And only then, when that's happened, do my guides then hold their hand out and say, okay, let's go. And I usually go where they want me to go. It's not an agenda that I bring to them. Okay, I want to go here, here, and here. They take me. And that's what my book, Spirit Traveler, is about, is, you know, 8 historic sites that they took me to and that they showed me through time travel what happened, why it was built, who built it. And what's beautiful about this connecting into my healing work is that it really lends to where we came from, what some of these rituals and ceremonies were back 12,000 years ago and what we're doing today.
Well, these are amazing abilities that manifested very early in your life. And were other members of your family similarly talented?
Not to my knowledge, no. I mean, I think everybody's sensitive, and I certainly had very sensitive family members. But I think my dad was probably the more tuned in of everybody. But always, you know, from an era, and he's from an era that pretty much said, oh, that's not happening, and, you know, shot it down, and, you know, that's impossible. And, you know, people were very closed to what is now sort of this real, you know, fad of being sensitive and tuned in and psychic and all of that, you know. That was not acceptable back in those days. And I think that on both sides of my family, my mom's side and my dad's side, my mom's side having the Native American heritage and my dad's side being Norwegian, there are very sensitive people through the line. And to tell you a really great story, I was in Seattle doing a big event, and Cindy Dale was there as well, and I just adore Cindy, and sat down to have coffee with her, and one of my cousins was with me. And we got to talking, and we actually figured out that we are related, and we're related, like, fairly close, as in second cousins. And it was a riot. We were sitting at the table going, oh, my God, we're related. And then we started talking about my dad's side of the family, the Norwegian side, and we figured out we're related on that side, too. So I can say, yes, I have another family member who's very tuned in, and that's Cindy Dale. And if your listeners don't know, Cindy Dale's written a gajillion books, so you can look her up. She's fabulous.
Well, that's certainly, it's a synchronicity that it's not accidental. It's
mm-hmm. Yes,
very, very interesting to have that connection.
I know it was.
The process of meditation that you describe, where you feel yourself dissolve, is this something that you taught yourself, or did you learn it through study of any particular spiritual path or through a teacher?
No, actually, what I learned from my first teacher is the grounding meditation that I teach. It's the basis of what I teach, and it really is about grounding each energy center and really connecting with the earth and not, you know, the basis of what I teach is our energy is not meant to go out into things, because when it does, our energy or our feelings of something is connecting with like energy. And that very connection is what starts the whole karma wheel turning. Because, you know, let's say we're not feeling good. We're feeling angry about something. And that anger's coming out from our body. It's not grounding. Well, that anger is going to connect with the collective of anger. And then we all hook into it, and then that wheel starts turning. It's like, okay, we're going to manifest more karma here because we're all connecting on that anger. I teach that we need that anger grounded, that any feeling that we have, any you know, experience that we're having, yes, experience it. Feel your feelings, but process them and release them. Allow that energy to go deep into the earth. And over the course, again, of 35 years of doing this grounding meditation, I have evolved as the spiritual being that I am into the experience of dissolving. I did not study this anywhere. This is not anything anyone taught me. I simply have that experience. And It is what it is. It's something that I feel very, fortunate to have that experience, but I also am disconnected enough from other meditation practices that's what I know. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm not running out reading all this other material, and I don't go out and try this, that, and the other. I'm very much my own vessel of information and receiving that information from source.
And you refer to it as spirit travel. Is this just another name for astral travel?
No, it's not. In fact, that's a great question, because astral projection is, visualizing and seeing yourself in that place. I actually experience leaving. Like I'm once I've dissolved, I experience going up into the ethers. I feel the rain on my face. I feel the cold air. Sometimes I literally need to take a coat with me. It's weird. It's like, and then going back in time and time travel, that's even weirder, because, I'm standing there in Salisbury Plain where Stonehenge should be standing, and it's not there. And I'm literally seeing a different geographic layout of the land, because obviously land changes over thousands of years. And then the beings that come through, particular to the site, they're different everywhere I go, but they are the star beings that helped create those sites. And they come through and they show me the progression. This is what it started out as. This is what it evolved to. And I get to literally see the evolutionary process of what then became Stonehenge. And it's fascinating. I mean, I was in a cab with a guy. He was our driver, and he was listening to me talk to the group that was in the car with us, and he said, Sonia, he goes, I have to tell you, I was on an archaeological dig at Salisbury Plain, and he said, I'm not an archaeologist. I'm like a junior archaeologist, but I was with a bunch of the real guys, and we were on this dig, and he said, we found the tooth of an aurochs. And he said, that find in itself changes all the dates that have been recorded about Stonehenge. And he said, you know what? It puts your dates exactly on the money. And I mean, things like this have been coming up since I wrote Spirit Traveler that are really confirming my findings, which is exciting.
It is interesting that we are constantly revising history with new discoveries, and some antiquities are much, much older than we've thought for certain numbers of years. The pyramids, for example, Stonehenge, a lot of very interesting research coming out on Stonehenge now. And I found your book, Spirit Traveler, where you talk about these sacred sites and being able to actually visit them. It's fascinating, the detail that you experience, and it's like you're physically there, isn't it?
At some
period in the past time, where you can feel the elements, you can have conversations, you can see people, and
the thing that's really interesting to me is that It is star beings. I call them demigods because we've worshipped them over time. But demigods are a form of, alien life, star beings. And it is those star beings that changed all of humanity across the globe when that new phase, I call it a new phase of humanity, began. And that was at the end of Atlantis and Lemuria. Cataclysmic things happened. There was a comet that hit the Earth, ripple effect through everything, and it changed everything. And that's when all these portals opened up all across the world, kind of like that big Batman sign in the sky saying, okay, Batman, we need you. But these portals opened up, and that's what tells these star beings, okay, they're ready for a new phase of humanity. They come through. The Pleiadians had a huge effect on Salisbury Plain, huge effect. And they were very much demigods to the people. But when Thor and Odin and the Norse gods came through and ended up going to govern their area, which is more Norway and Sweden and Denmark, that area, they got all the credit because they were also worshipped in the UK. They received all the credit. The Pleiadians didn't want the credit for what they had built and created. So the Norse gods were really important to the people in the UK in later times. And I wanted to share with you that because I talk so much in the book about these demigods, you know, having influence on all these different sites and places that I go to, recently there was a study conducted by Omar Gokuman, an assistant professor of biological sciences at the University of Buffalo, and he has discovered that ancient humans had intercourse with a ghost species or proto-human. And he says that he explains humans are only one member of a broader species. And what I find so interesting is that, you know, there it is. That's exactly what I'm talking about. These star beings came through, cross-pollinated with different groups of humans. That's why we had such unusual-looking people in different parts of the world, because they were different beings that came through.
And that's who you mean by the demigods?
Yes, yes. The demigods are a form of star being. There are different levels. There's alien beings. There's grays. There's reptilians. You know, there's... my brain just went blank. There's all of these different levels of different beings, different species. But the demigods, they're huge. These guys are huge in appearance. They're super tall. And they're much larger and much more capable than any of the alien species that we might have been aware of or known, like the Greys. They're much more evolved, and they're much more benevolent, really. I mean, they have a much broader spectrum of sort of godlike looking in and helping and forming. They're not of the same ilk as many alien species that, you know, people may have seen or had experiences with.
The travels that your guides take you on, do they make an appointment with you? Do they tell you, well, it's time to go visit a certain place we want to teach you about? How do these journeys come about?
You're so funny. Yes, I get my appointment book out and we make a session. No, they do. They come to me, but they tell me ahead of time. So, like, let's say it's the evening and I'm watching television and I see my guide standing there. They'll say, we need to take you somewhere. And I'm like, okay, now? Yes, now. I'm like, okay. And so I come out into my office and sit down and go into meditation, and we proceed. Yeah. But it's pretty much like in the moment. You know, it's not necessarily something that I schedule 5 weeks out.
Well, I can imagine not, but... sometimes guides will come and say, you know, tonight when you go to sleep, you know, we have a journey to take. Now, when you go on this time travel through the spirit travel, do you ever get concerned about being able to get back?
I have had a couple of experiences that were a little dicey. There was one spirit travel that I did, and it's in the book. It's when I traveled to the Great Pyramids, and I felt danger, like that my guides alerted me and said, we need to go now. And when you read the book, wonderful audience that's listening to this show. When you read the book, I'm not going to spoil it. You can read what happens. But there's other travels that I've been on to a time period that is pre-Atlantis that was very scary. And there were a lot of alien-like beings here on Earth, and I felt exposed. I had to stay hidden. I felt like I was not safe at all, and my guides got me out of there. And they did. They took me there because they wanted me to see that, you know, things weren't always what we think it was here on Earth. We get so narrow and so limited in our understanding of what's going on this planet, you know, and it's all based on, well, I found this or I found that, or, you know, there's this skeletal structure that we dug up. But there's so much more that's gone on than what we have found.
Well, Sonia, we're coming up on our top of the hour news break, so we've got to take a few minutes out here. Mm-hmm. Folks, you're listening to Strange Dimensions on KGRARadio.com. Do stay with us. We'll be right back with mystic healer and spirit traveler Sonia Grace.
Around the world for decades have come high strangeness reports of mysterious aerial lights, beams, animal mutilations, human abductions, secret space and military programs focused on an alien presence. One reporter of these Earth mysteries is Emmy Award-winning TV producer, writer, and editor, Linda Moulton Howe. She reports and edits the science, environment, and real X-Files news website, earthfiles.com.
We are moving from the paradigm that we are alone in the universe to a new one in which we are not alone. And something out there is interacting with us, our animals and plant life, forcing glimpses of other realities upon us.
Linda has produced four large books about these phenomena with hundreds of color images and illustrations that reviewers such as New York Times best-selling author Jim Mars describes as an amazing accumulation of evidence. All her books, An Alien Harvest, the two-volume Glimpses of Other Realities, and Mysterious Lights and Crop Circles, along with documentaries, are available in the shop at earthfiles.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Our world is a world of mysteries. Strange disappearances, unusual happenings, mysterious phenomena. And this November, you can learn about the greatest mysteries of our time by joining us on the Mysteries Cruise. Enjoy several days at sea and attend exclusive private lectures with leading personalities like researcher Rosemary Ellen Guiley, author of more than 49 books, including The Gin Connection, podcaster Jim Harold, host of The Paranormal Podcast, and writer and researcher Micah Hanks of The Graylian Report. Set sail this November 8th through the 17th, 2017, aboard the Crown Princess and sail with us into the heart of mystery. Make your reservations before time runs out by visiting holidaymakertravel.com today or reserve by phone at 877-642-4308. That number again is 877-642-4308. The mysteries of our time await you. Visit mysteriescruise.com.
You're listening to the KGRA Digital Broadcasting Station, Salt Lake City, Utah, Van Buren, Arkansas.
Back back again. Strange Dimensions on KGRA Radio. My guest tonight, Sonia Grace, mystic healer, spirit traveler, animal communicator. Sonia wears many hats in her work, helping other people with their healing, past, present, with their understanding of who they are, the journey they're on, what's in store for humanity. That's one of the things that I like to get into here with Sonia. But we were talking just before the break about some of the spirit traveling, Sonia, that you've been doing, and that you are able to go with your angel guides literally to a place in the past. I mean, it's almost like the transporter on Star Trek, you know, where you disassemble yourself and you reassemble yourself in some distant location, and you're going into the past. In your book, Spirit Traveler, you covered 8 sacred sites and your explorations of them and what you learned about their secrets. And the chapter that I found probably the most intriguing, it was a fascinating book, all the chapters are good, but most intriguing to me is a mysterious place called Skellig Michael off the coast of Ireland. What's going on with this place?
Well, what's really interesting is this place, the listeners, you guys might know of Skellig Michael and not know that you know it, and that is in the last Star Wars movie when we see Luke Skywalker for the first time. He's standing on Skellig Michael, and you can see the beehive huts that the monks built with no mortar. There is no mortar used on that island. Every rock is placed exactly where it needs to go, including the stairs that come sweeping up from the ocean up the cliffs to the top. It's an amazing place. It was basically built and created around 489 AD by a group of monks. St. Fionnan was the main monk who brought this group of men there to create this place. And the reason that they came there was because of the ancient people called the Tuatha-Ladanan. They knew that this was sacred to them and that they had used this site for their ceremonies. Well, of course, there's the other practical side of it, which is, you know, we're monks. We are barely into Christianity. I mean, we're still very much pagan, and we want to do our own thing. And we know that the Tuatha-Ladanan are very magical, mystical people, and that they knew some things about this island that we want to go figure out. And they did. They built these beehive huts, and they lived there. And a lot of interesting things happen. I don't want to give the whole chapter away, but I do want to tell you that when I spirit traveled there and I sat down in one of the beehive huts with them and with my guides, we all just like levitated. there was no gravity. We levitated. And you know, it was so wonderful because I was sitting in the movie theater the other day and watched the trailer for one of the new Star Wars movies that's coming out, and there they are. They're all levitating. So I was joking with Rosemary that somebody on that crew has been reading my book, because this is not a commonly known part of Skellig Michael. I believe Skellig Michael and those islands right there are the tops of mountains that existed during Lumeria, and that Lumeria was this ancient civilization that stretched off the coast of Ireland all the way to Greenland. And it was a beautiful, spectacular place, but this is the top of one of those mountains. And so they're literally experiencing energy, because, you know, gravity can vary, and certainly electromagnetic energy comes up through the earth, that there was a very special quality to this place that the monks understood. And there's more detail that I go into about how the monks dealt with it and what they actually did with this energy, but I want the listeners to read it.
It's a very bizarre place, very forbidding island. and does seem to have a lot of magical energy properties about it. And, you know, we have other speculations and perhaps even evidence that early people in various locations around the Earth knew the secrets of levitation. And you also talk about levitating the stones of Stonehenge, these mm-hmm. giant sarsens that mm-hmm. came from Wales. How did they get to the plains of Salisbury and Wiltshire?
This had everything to do with the race of beings that I call the Ancient Ones or the Pleiadians. They were the ones that orchestrated that. When those large sarsen stones were placed, it was their last statement to the people that we will always be here. And the energy in those stones and what was, literally infused into them by the Ancient Ones was a way of giving this really sacred place to the people and saying, okay, we've cross-pollinated with you, we have created ceremonies, we have an entire group of high priestesses that manage all of this, now we're going to go and you're on your own. And, you know, what's really typical in our history is this has happened all over the world. And when the people are finally left by the gods, they get weird. You know, we have huge separation issues. We have a major core wound of separation. And people start feeling like, you know, the gods are never going to return. What can we do? How can we get them to come back? Like, you know, in South America and a lot of the Aztec and Mayan cultures, you know, they started sacrificing people like, okay, this will bring them back. If we give them, you know, these beautiful young girls, they'll come back. And it's not out of, you know, some horrible, you know, malice that they're doing this. It's out of desperation. It's like the burial mounds near Stonehenge. They buried the high priestesses and the elite by Stonehenge because they were hoping that they would reach the gods first, that they would get there and bring them back. It was not a burial site. It was totally about fertility. And, you know, I encourage the listeners to please read the book because so much of my spirit travels has to do with how I work as a healer. I literally spirit travel to people all over the world. And, you know, I have clients in Australia, New Zealand, Austria, Germany, France, Norway, England, Ireland, Scotland, you know, Thailand, all over the world. And I literally put myself in front of them and work on them as if you're in front of me, you know, in person. And so I think that my ability to spirit travel has much to do with the fact that I spirit travel every day to my clients.
Is most of that for healing work?
Oh, yeah. A lot of it's for healing work. But, you know, I'm addressing the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies. And so if somebody says to me, Sonia, I have a hip problem, can you work on my hip? I will. I'll go in and, you know, literally on the physical plane, work on their hip. But I also might say to them, let's do a process. Let me go in on an emotional level and find out what is really going on with this hip. Because I believe that at the core of all illness is an emotional issue that has not been addressed. We have all these emotional wounds that we've been carrying around our adult lives that are like threads that are connected to our karma. Because our karma is nothing more than emotional wounds that went unresolved from past lives. So if we were abandoned in one life and then we're abandoned again in the next life and again, and here we are in this life going, wow, I feel so abandoned. I mean, I had great parents, but I never felt like anybody was around. You know, it can be that simple. It can be that subtle. And yet we're still dealing with some kind of abandonment. So I'll go in and do some work in this lifetime of clearing some of that abandonment stuff, and then I'll go into the past lives where it actually happened before and clear it karmically so that they're getting that movement, getting that out.
Are these emotional causes one of the major factors in disease and illness today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not denying environmental, you know, environmental impact. I'm not denying that. But I do feel that so much of that, you know, intersection of all the things that we're dealing with has a lot to do with what has gone unattended that we stored in our body. You know, a woman who feels resentment, she's angry, you know, her husband left her and she's got to raise the kids alone and she's got to do this and she's resentful about everything. That resentment's going somewhere in her body. You know, it's very common for women who are very resentful to end up dealing with breast cancer. I have seen that for 30 plus years. That resentment oftentimes leads to some form of cancer. So for all of you who feel resentment out there, call me up. Let's work this out so that you can get that out of your body, because these different cancers and things that we can manifest are so dialed into the emotional wounds from the past.
I was very interested in studies that were done some years ago. Lawrence Lashan, who worked a lot in parapsychology as well, but he addressed the issue of cancer from an emotional perspective too. And he said that he thought a major contributor was, he called it the loss of your song in life, that some sort of loss, a partner, a job, something significant that sort of robbed you of your sense of who you are and why you're here, your whole purpose, and kind of left you in this free-floating emotional sea, that this too could contribute to something like a catastrophic illness. And, you know, what you've said about resentment, our emotions have such a role in our physical well-being. And yet when we turn on the television, what do we get? We get endless ad after ad after ad for a drug that's going to solve our problem for us.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that we should not have traditional medical treatment for illnesses and diseases, but have we gone overboard with pharmaceuticals?
Oh, absolutely. I feel we have. You know, we are heavily opiate addicted in this country, and it's a national problem. It's a big, big problem. But the thing that I want to stress to your listeners is I believe in all modalities working together. So if I'm working on someone and they do have a cancer, I'm going to absolutely tell them you need to see your oncologist. You need to get, you know, a film of what's going on in your body. Come back to me. Let's work on this. I think everything should work in concert. And I have some diehard people who say, nope, I want you to do it. I want you to be the one to work on it. But I make it very clear to people that, you know, I will do what the best absolute job that I can do, but it's God's will. It's not my will. And I mean, that's the bottom line. I can, you know, absolutely have phenomenal miracles that happen daily. I mean, just I have amazing things that happen with people. But I always tell people it's God's will. It's not mine. And that there has to be a receptivity to the healing so that they are allowing, as opposed to our natural state, which actually is a lot of resistance. It's amazing when you start to really pay attention to yourself how much resistance is going on. Even just to hold yourself up, to sit up, there takes a certain amount of resistance of muscles going, you know, working against each other to keep you upright. And so it's very challenging, particularly in cultures where a medicine man or a shaman is not necessarily the go-to person. You know, where I am from, in the Hopi Reservation, I'm considered a medicine woman. And so people will come to me because that is their natural mode of, you know, of healing. They'll come to me before they'll go to the doctor. You know, and that's the awareness there. That's the awareness in a lot of indigenous cultures. But in, you know, in other cultures, there's sort of that, well, I don't know, and, you know, maybe I should go, or maybe I should do this, and there's not that just readiness to go. So I think it's important that people really embrace all of these different modalities and work with what works best for you, because that's where your healing is going to come from.
Sonia, I have a healing question from the chat concerning animals, and I know you do a lot of work in animal communication. This is from Nola. You heal animals. How do you convey an image to the mind of the animal? How do you do the healing? Does the animal send its own images back to you?
Yeah, I don't do any of that. I again, as I described how I work with people, I put myself in front of that pet, wherever that pet is in the world, and I literally go in like a surgeon, and I work on them, clearing out whatever is the problem, you know, restructuring tissue, working on cellular level, working on the blood. If I communicate with them, it is literally, for me, how I experience telepathy, where I am hearing them talk to me, and they're hearing me talk to them. I have a gal who I adore in Tennessee who has an entire troop of capuchin monkeys that I work on, and she's a riot. She actually has used my services for, I don't know, 15 years now, a long time, and I know all the monkeys. I've never met them in person, but when she comes into the room where they are all kept in this, we call it the monkey room, she'll say, you know, Sonia's on the phone, and it's like, it just, everything goes silent. And it's so funny. It's like they all know that I'm there, and I work on them. And I've had remarkable healings with these monkeys and with most pets, because they don't have ego and they don't have the layers of stuff that humans deal with. They are such the healers of our world, our animals. They are such healers, and they will take things on for us. They'll take on entities and different things that get globbed onto us so that we don't have to deal with it. And it's you know, to me, it's just a delight to get to work on an animal. I love working on humans as well, because I think the process of what humans go through to really unravel and come to the actual core of what it's about, oh my God, the core issue is I felt abandoned by my mother. When I was born, she didn't want me. You know, whatever it is, it's such a profound moment, and I feel so honored to be a part of that discovery so that the person can start to heal, because that stuff is buried in us, and maybe it does take layer after layer and, you know, session after session to get to it, but eventually a person will get to it, and when they do, it's this phenomenal transformational moment of freedom, and it's beautiful.
Now, when you work on the energy healing, how does that manifest for you? Do you see cords of energy? Do you look inside of people? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the biggest things I do when I work on people is I clear entities. I clear aliens out of people. I clear energetic alien probes out of people's bodies. I've dealt with more people who have been abducted and had UFO alien type experiences than I can count. And I go in and literally see the brain as the brain, and I work on the brain, and, you know, I see the liver as the liver. I know the human body and the anatomy quite well, and so I'm able to literally look into that person's body and see it. My sight is very on, as is my hearing and my smelling and my feeling. All sensory systems are on. So for me, when I work on somebody, I will clear them first, because I want to make sure that there isn't an entity or some sort of demon-like, you know, thing in their field or some alien-type energy in their field. I'll clear them, and then I'll go in and work on them. And a lot of times, not always, but sometimes people discover that, you know, there was some kind of abduction when they were little, and they do have energetic probes in their body, and that's why they've had this chronic illness for so long. there is those rare occasional stories, but I've seen it, and I've seen people have really unusual experiences throughout their life, not knowing that that's been going on, and then discovering that that has happened.
Well, you mentioned clearing aliens from inside of people's bodies. So it's possible to have alien presences actually residing within the body?
Yes, absolutely. And I cannot tell you how many times I have cleared reptilians from people. For example, I lived in New York and worked for a large corporation years ago, back when the banks crashed. And I part of my job was actually looking at and working within the financial industry as a mystic healer. And I saw an entire group of people in a bank in New York with reptilians in them, and they all turned and looked at me at the same time. I have never been so freaked out in my life. You know the scene in The Wizard of Oz when the lion's running down the hallway and he jumps out the window? It was like that for me. I mean, it was just too weird. They all turned and looked at me. And I realized at that moment that this is going on, and that these alien beings that have the ability to take form and not take form and to maneuver in the unseen world, they are inhabiting people. They are inhabiting their bodies. There was a gal who called me in from one of the islands in Hawaii, and she said, oh my God, you know, there's something happening here, and it is totally freaking me out. And I did a survey. I looked at all the people in this village she was in, and every single person there had an alien-type being. They were very small beings inside their body. And I asked, why are you guys in these people's bodies? What are you doing? And they said that they were hiding from another group of aliens that were hunting them in our galaxy. And as Star Trek-y as this may sound, it's not. It's our limited view of what really is going on in our world and our galaxy and beyond that keeps us sort of in the dark and not aware. And certainly, if anyone's aware, Rosemary, it's you, and I know that you understand this, but many people get these things in them because their energy isn't, they're not keeping their energy field tended to. You know, we have to tend to our energy the same way that we tend to our body. So if we're out, you know, drinking or drugging or doing anything that's lowering our vibration, we open ourselves up, first of all, for entities, and secondly, any kind of, you know, like I said, alien activity that happens to be coming through. We're in the fifth dimension now, and in this fifth dimension, all these portals have opened up, and all these different alien beings are coming through a lot in different places I've seen all over the world. And I'm telling you, if there was a time in human history for humans to have the thought in their mind, shields up, it's now. We need our shields up.
But, you know, I see more and more people with their shields down. And This is very alarming to me. I see it in my work as a paranormal investigator. I run into so many cases of problems that are not haunted locations, haunted houses, haunted land. It's haunted people because they have attachments to them.
Right.
And I think the illness that illnesses that many people experience are tied into this as well. It's not only just the physical immune system that gets lowered and vulnerable. It's our spiritual immune system.
Exactly.
And it's very disturbing to me because I wonder where it's all going to go.
Well, you know, the thing that I experience is this new found, you know, spiritualism, the New Age movement, all of this, to me, is so tied in to an ever-growing addiction that people have in our society. I mean, we all get addicted to things, alcohol, drugs, pharmaceuticals, computers, phones, you know, there's just so many different layers and levels of addiction. And if we can put, you know, spiritualism into that same sort of desire, you know, like, oh yeah, I want to learn everything. And people get online and they start Googling all this stuff, and then they start getting this mishmash of information, and then they're completely confused, and then they go to a practitioner who maybe doesn't have it, you know, figured out yet, and, you know, things are on them, and I have to clear things out of them. And it's like, oh my goodness, I hope that your listeners hear what I'm saying, in that it's wonderful to be spiritual and to want to understand these things. But I am a firm believer that having a teacher and someone that can guide you is so helpful, because there are so many things out there that we can get into and really get hurt. And I've had people come back from, you know, various things, you know, entities on them, all kinds of stuff happened to them. And, you know, and they don't understand. And because we are all spiritual as people, we believe that it should be my right to be able to do that. Why can't I do that? I'm spiritual too. Well, we all have different karma. We all have different paths. So that particular thing might not be for you to do. Just like in, you know, my culture, my native culture, not everybody knows all the different parts of a ceremony. This clan has this part, this clan has this part, this clan has this part. So nobody ever holds the knowledge of all of it in one pod. They all have to come together to make it happen. And that is something that's true throughout history. In all of these spirit travels that I've taken, it has been different peoples coming together to make the ceremony. And I encourage people to really think about that and really understand that, you know, there may be something special that you have, and that's for you, and that you hold that near and dear to you.
Sonia, we're coming up on our bottom of the hour break, so we've got to step away for a few minutes. Folks, you're listening to Strange Dimensions on KGRARadio.com. My guest tonight, Sonia Grace, mystic healer, energy surgeon, spirit traveler. It's been a fascinating conversation so far, so stay around for the final half hour. We'll be starting out with more questions from the chat. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply, and of course the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
We are the contact for alternative research topics. The Planet, KGRARadio.com.
Final segment now with my guest, Sonia Grace, on Strange Dimensions, mystic healer, spirit traveler. We've been talking about humanity living in the fifth dimension and what some of our issues are facing us today and on into the future. If you want to know more about Sonia and her work, book an appointment, attend a workshop, do one of her retreats, check out her information and schedule at www.soniagrace.com. That's Sonia with a J. And I just want to mention, without going into details, that I had a reading recently with Sonia, and she was just incredibly accurate, just right on the money. Sonia, that was a great reading, and I want to thank you for that. I want
that was
to.
Really fun. Thank you, Rosemary. I had a really good time. Thank you.
We have a question from someone in the chat, John. Have the guides predicted the future? And if they have, do they have any messages for the mortals about what's to come? And I would add to that: have the guides or the ancient ones or the demigods, any of the beings that you've been in contact, any messages about what's to come?
Well, you know, I do usually do a predictions radio show at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I will say, John, that my guides will talk to me about the future, but I'm such a, you know, I love surprises and I love seeing things unfold the way they're supposed to. The one thing that I think is on everybody's minds is, A, all of, you know, this massive hurricane headed towards Florida right now, Irma. Here where I live in Portland, Oregon, we have a huge fire, like right on the edge of our city, that's very scary. There's 70 fires going on in California. There's 29 here in Oregon. Montana's on fire, Idaho, Washington. You know, we all have fire going on big time. And then, of course, we have all this water in Houston and flooding in Texas. And when I wrote, and I have a free mailer that I do every Sunday, I send out what's called the Earth Angel, and I talk about, you know, pertinent topics and things that my guides are sharing with people. And I talked a lot about the eclipse, and I said to people that the energy that's passing from the sun to the moon and then to the earth is meant for the earth, and that energy, that void of light, is preparing the earth for all of these changes that we're now starting to watch and see, from these hurricanes to fires to, you know, various earth activity, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions. And we will watch this now as the earth prepares for the upcoming ice age. And there is an ice age that's coming. The sun's getting ready to do a solar minimum. And we just had two X-class flares from the sun just a few hours ago. They are actually going to impact the Earth, the solar flares. And, you know, I surrender. That's all I have to say. I surrender, because we are going to go through major transformation. Am I trying to cause, you know, fear in anybody? No, I think that we can all handle it if we stay centered and we really stay in the middle. We're not running out investing our energy in what's good or bad or, oh my God, or, oh no, or whatever. It's like we're staying centered. All of us are practicing what we've learned spiritually so that we can ride this wave and get to the other side of it. I do see for the future some very good things coming. And it is called the Golden Era, the Golden Age, not during Queen Elizabeth's time. This is a new Golden Age. And I do see that coming. But we're going to go through the end of this phase of humanity. We are coming to the end of a phase, and our children and our grandchildren are the ones that are going to really bring in this new phase of humanity that will begin.
Well, asking it from another perspective, what does it mean to be living in the fifth dimension, and what's ahead for us from that perspective?
Well, you know, we spent centuries in the fourth dimension. Since the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria, we have spent, you know, thousands of years in the fourth dimension. And that fourth dimension, as you guys all recall, depending on how old you are, was about love. We lost wars over the love of a woman, Helen of Troy. We had William Shakespeare totally, you know, talking about love. We had the 60s and the 70s all about love and peace. There's so many markers through this fourth dimension that was about love, because it relates to the fourth chakra and the heart, as it did prior to that, you know, during Atlantis and Lemuria. And that time period was in the third dimension, and that was all about the third chakra, or the energy of community and power and being powerful. And you could see through history how those remnants of power issues were constantly coming up against the issues of love. Oh, I still feel the power. I got to have power. Oh, but it's really about love. And, you know, it's like you can watch it all through history. Now we're in this fifth dimension, and it's literally like somebody dropped the floor out from underneath us, because it's new territory. None of us have been in this dimension before. And so huge things are happening. People are hearing ringing in their ears. They're having weird body pain. They're having neck pain and head pain and tailbone pain. There's all kinds of odd markers as to people becoming more sensitive, more telepathic, and tuning in to this higher frequency. But the trick of us being in this higher frequency is we're the ones that have to work a little bit harder to keep our energy up and at a vibration that we can be here. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult. And some people out there listening probably can relate to this, where you have someone who says, you know, I just don't want to do it that way. I'm not going to do it that way. And they're so stuck in the past as to how they did it, they're not willing to change. And that energy is not going to fly in this fifth dimension. We live in dualism, duality. It's good, it's bad, it's hot, it's cold, it's right, it's wrong. And we measure everything in duality outside of ourselves. You know, we see something, we go, ooh, I like that. We see something, ooh, I don't like that at all. You know, it's outside of ourselves. And duality as we know it, this big soup that we swim in called duality, is splitting apart. And the good is getting really good and the bad is getting really bad. And we're all feeling it. We're all feeling like we're splitting and dividing 100 million times. And that's why I say we have to stay in the center. We have to stay in that really, really deep space of inner peace that's inside of us in order to survive what we're going through now.
Well, how can we do that? We're under such an onslaught all the time with the demands of media. You know, we're immersed in 24/7 social media, news media. We're all connected through technology. People feel like their jobs are more demanding. They have less and less time. So how do we accomplish that?
My feeling and what I teach is meditation. This is why I do meditation retreats, is because I believe that if someone comes to my retreat and sits in meditation with me and does all of the different things that I do in a retreat, from deep processing work to meditation, I teach a cellular yoga, I do all kinds of things to get people into that space of inner peace. And we hang out there in a higher frequency in a completely different dimension while we're in that retreat, because I take everybody into ceremony before we begin, and then we close out the ceremony. And when I do that, it gives people the experience to take that home and then practice that with themselves, practice that where you're going into meditation. And I'm not talking to your listeners who are going, God, I don't have time to meditate. I'm talking 3 minutes. I'm saying close your eyes, ground yourself. You know, get my grounding meditation. It's on my website. You know, do that meditation. Go through all of your energy centers and ground them, and use the method of grounding that I'm teaching, because it will help you not only to center you, but it will also help you to be able to stop engaging your energy into stuff. And we have so much stuff, like you said, going on. You know, there's so much fear and shock and anger and hatred, upset, you know, all these different energies people are putting out there. And it's hard not to react to all of it. I watch television, I get reactionary, you know, but I also remind myself, ground your energy, because I don't want to create more karma. I don't want to incur more karma. And I certainly am at a point where I'm very interested in the collective healing. So it's like, you know, one person changes their energy, all the people around them change. And that's how we can help. That's the most important thing to remember, is what you do with your energy, the more that you process and you understand your emotional wounds and you start the healing process, you're healing everybody around you. And if everybody did that, we would heal the world.
I'm glad you said that about meditation, because that's been my number one recommendation for years. And I have been meditating most of my adult life as well. And I tell people in the paranormal, they should do it. People in metaphysics, in all walks of life, meditation will shift your perspective. It puts you on an entirely different plane of awareness. And it does help you find the real priorities in life, as well as a lot of physical and emotional benefits along with it. So I'm so glad to see you emphasize that. And you've got a lot of meditation retreats on your website.
I do. I've got one coming up here in Oregon, October. It's the 5th through the 8th, and it's at this wonderful, really rustic kind of, you know, outdoor camping setting, but there's yurts and things where people can sleep in. But it's going to be so much fun, because it's about earth circles. It's about creating circles that are the very patterning that we have going on, and stepping out of those patterns so we're not repeating patterns. It's creating circles that are healthy and helping you. It's looking much deeper at yourself and at your stuff, and really processing through the earth medicine ways that I'm going to be teaching, and I'm super excited about it. And I just, you know, I want to tell the listeners that there's so many things that we can do for ourselves that help other people, but we just don't recognize it. You know, we can work on ourselves, we can meditate, we can raise our vibration, we can you know, think happy thoughts, whatever. I mean, it's like whatever you're doing to raise your frequency, you're helping your family members, you're helping your community. And I think that's so important given how helpless we feel most of the time. You know, we look at some of these big issues and go, how can I be of any help to that? You know, I'm the one signing petitions. You know, like, okay, I can at least sign petitions. But I also believe that in meditation, when you're sitting in that deep space of inner peace, you are really connecting with something that is affecting so many people and so much of your environment.
Sonia, we have another question from the chat here. Do you believe in internal portals?
I believe that the auric field, that big space around you, has seven layers to it, just like we have seven chakras. And I believe that there are things that happen in each layer of the field. And when I work on people, I actually go in and clear each layer of the field. And I will find openings, I'll find entities, I'll find all kinds of things that are there in the field. So to say portals in the field, I would say there's openings where other things come through. You could call that a portal. But I think the cause of the opening has to do with the very person whose field it is not taking care of their energy field and not being mindful to be aware of that. You know, we have around us this big thing called the etheric web. It covers your whole auric field, and it's like it's supposed to look like cheesecloth. It's woven so tight, and all you have to do is put your mind on it and say, I'm now reweaving my etheric web. Boom. There, you guys all just did it. You, that's all you have to do. I'm now reweaving my etheric web, and it pulls right together. And, you know, it's an amazing protection. It's an amazing part of your energy body that protects you, and we just have to take care of it.
That's one thing that meditation also benefits, is that it strengthens mm-hmm. the aura and prevents a lot of those openings and tears from occurring that enable foreign presences or energies to latch on. You know, you were talking a little earlier about all the attachments. And by the way, I just wanted to mention that you are one of the few people in the Western world that I've met who is knowledgeable about the jinn. And you've certainly see the jinn attached to people, and I've run into so many cases like that myself. But we've got all of these other beings who have their own agendas going, and is this an increasing problem that more and more of them are finding ways to latch on to people and feed off them?
I guess I wouldn't put it quite in that way. I would say that because we've moved into a higher frequency, the fifth dimension, that a lot of the lower vibrational energies are globbing onto humans in hopes to actually go with them into, you know, this higher frequency. You know, a lot of things change, and a lot of alien life, a lot of, you know, ETs are in a much higher frequency than we are. And they are, you know, they're coming here from a much higher vibration, which is why they can materialize and not materialize, and why they can travel the way that they travel. They understand, they have a much different understanding. So many people will say to me, well, when I saw that, you know, what a gray or whatever it was, there was such a disconnect, like there was no emotion, they were really cold. And it's because they're in such a higher frequency. They're not connected emotionally the way that we are. That is truly the human experience. We are given this beautiful palette of paint when we're born. And each paint color is an emotion. and you get to paint your life every day. Oh, a little happiness. Oh, how about a little joy? Okay, a little bit of resentment, and how about a little bit of shock and anger? And you paint your picture every day with this palette of emotions. They don't have that. That's part of the envy of this human experience. You know, that's part of why they want to step in and experience what we're experiencing. So we have to take care of our emotional body. We have to ground that stuff. We have to really understand that our words are powerful and can annihilate a person. We have to be so responsible, so much more responsible than we have ever been taught, especially in this fifth dimension.
Sonia, you have traced your own first incarnation on Earth to Atlantis and your star origins to Orion. Are you in contact with other beings from your origins?
Absolutely. Yes, I am. Absolutely. And when I work with people and I go back through their past lives, I am able to tell them when they first incarnated and where they came from. And it's really fun. It's so much fun to see, you know, all these people who have come in from different parts of the galaxy and beyond. And again, there is that filtering process of, okay, so, you know, you're from Sirius, and you know, there's all kinds of information about that, good, bad, right, and wrong. And you have to really, you know, kind of move past some of that because there's so much information out there that isn't necessarily accurate. It might be what that person understands or what they wrote about, but it's not necessarily accurate. So keep an open mind. You know, if you're ever sitting in front of me on the phone and able to receive that information.
What are the transmissions of information or messages from the beings in the Orion system?
Mostly that we are really at the apex of some major events happening, and that the entire galaxy and beyond is watching what's happening here. That doesn't mean there's going to be any interception. That doesn't mean that they're going to stop anything from happening, but they're aware of it, and they are definitely bringing an attention to our world that we need. I mean, sometimes really humanity, in my understanding, is only about 4 years old in time. And so we're quite young, and we have sort of this childlike, experience of either being, you know, victims or being, you know, bullies or perpetrators. And that's the growing pain that we're going through right now, because that's not going to fly in this fifth dimension. Victimization and being the bully or perpetrator is no longer going to have any effect in this higher frequency. We really, really are being called to take responsibility. And as we become 5 years old, we will have to make our bed, and we will have to pick up our toys and do some of the things that you teach a five-year-old to do. And all of these beings, from Orion and Pleiades and other places are watching and really, I feel, trying to help us so that we don't go completely off the rails.
Contact experiences overall seem to be on the rise, or at least more people are willing to talk about them. Do we have the maturity to handle them?
Yes, I believe we do. I believe we have the maturity to handle any ET UFO information if we understand that we are never separated from Source, that God, Creator, whatever you call that higher power, Source, is always there and always with us. That is the biggest fear of people finding out information or learning about anything in the unseen world, is that they're going to be alone and they're afraid. And we are not alone, and there is no need to be afraid, because you are always, always connected to Source.
Sonia, we're coming up on the closing minutes of the show here. I wanted to give you an opportunity to give out your website again and also closing thoughts for our listeners tonight.
Sure. My website is Sonja, S-O-N-J-A, Grace, G-R-A-C-E .com. I'm on Facebook, Mystic Healer Sonja Grace. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. You can find me. And my closing thoughts are, do not lose hope. Hope is the very thing that will get us through this time and help us over this big transformation we're going through into what I see as the golden era. Do not lose hope.
Sonja, those are wonderful words to end the show. What a fascinating discussion tonight. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rosemary. It was great being here. Thank you.
Folks, I'm going to sign off. This is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Strange Dimensions on KGRARadio.com. Don't go away. Meanwhile, I'll see you on down that paranormal road. Good night, everyone.